He's forcing me to engage. I'm still unclear because I want to make it known that any who are in the day of grace today, wide open to anyone putting his or her faith and trust in Christ, and refuses and rejects the day of grace, there is a complete closure for such. Jew, Gentile, Buddhist, whoever, no opportunity remains. The gospel of the kingdom to be declared in that day will be declared to those who did not have the opportunity in the day of grace, particularly those born in the tribulation period, out of which will come the 144,000 and the innumerable company of Gentiles. They will be the recipients of the gospel of the kingdom, of the coming king. And those are the ones who are going to be established in the kingdom with him. There is no opportunity granted to any who in the day of grace today have rejected the claims of Christ.
I can speak loud enough, right? Honoring your request, Brother Bill. Sometimes it helps me when I read about a person in the scripture of the opportunity he had and how he was rejected after a while. It gives me a sense to understand what the verses are presenting before us and what the brethren are saying. I could say this: everyone that is present with us today, this is applied to everyone present here, that if for whatever reason the Lord Jesus will come the second, you lost any chance. There's no second, third. God gives us hundreds of thousands of chances in a lifetime, and then the door is closed. But I want to talk about a person, and that's his name is Esau. Esau was a person that had been introduced to the ways of God. And in fact, at one point, he has the right for the birthright. But one thing about him, that nothing of Christ, I want to bring it home, really made a difference in his own life. So he despised the truth of Christianity. Let's put it that way. I'm just applying it, brethren, that's all. He despised the truth pertaining the work and the love of God that is extended to all mankind. So here comes a time. Here comes a time where he realized, the end is coming. And that light, you see it more in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, afterward, after he despised the birthright, after, I don't know the time, the scripture doesn't tell us, that in verse 17 of Hebrews 12, for he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. He was rejected. Now look what the scripture says. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The door has been closed. God rejected. And that's what's going to happen to Brother David, what you have mentioned to us. That especially for those that the name of Christ has been coded upon them. They've been called so-called Christians. My dear son, daughter, friend, there is no second chance. I want to say a quick word about the preaching, the gospel, Brother Bill. You said that it was the early part of the preaching was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and the last preaching will be the preaching of the kingdom. With a slight difference, that the Lord has preached the kingdom of heaven. He was preparing the scene of that kingdom of heaven where the king is absent in heaven. And here there is that type where we are in the present moment. But that gospel in the coming day, it is no absence of the king. The king is coming to rule supreme. It is in relationship to rights. That every person that will not submit to the rights of Christ, they are preaching that there is a king coming. And you will submit to him. Willingly or unwillingly, you will submit to him.
If you would permit me to look at the verses that follow and link it with some of the things that we have been saying. In 2 Thessalonians 2, we also have reference to who is called there the lawless one, the man of sin, sometimes it's said elsewhere. And in Matthew 24, verse 15, I think we should just touch on this so that we don't miss out on this, because the Lord Jesus does not elaborate on this abomination of desolation, but he expects, and Matthew inserts that by the Spirit of God, it's expected that those who hear and those who read would search out the meaning if it wasn't known. And so this abomination of desolation, we won't take time to turn back, but in Daniel chapter 11, there is this world-recognized leader who takes a position of great authority, and it says that he sits in the temple as though he is God. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he is called there this lawless one who will bring this great deception and will be accepted as the one who seems to have the answer for everything. Could you imagine how many questions there are in the hearts of mankind who have gone through all these troubles? And now, finally, there is someone who seems like he's got it all together. He's got every answer. He's got economic answers. He's got government answers. He's got religious answers. And he's going to help to establish what appears to be a worldwide solution. But when he sits in the temple as God, where is there to sit in the temple? As it's described in Solomon's temple, the only thing that's so-called the seat is the mercy seat, where is the presence of God. He will take that position. Perhaps he even would actually sit right there on that mercy seat. How dreadful that he would take that position as God. Ignore the God of your fathers. I'm the one who sits in that spot. And when this takes place, then there is going to be this instruction to flee. There is much more to say here, but just to indicate that this is the reference. 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about this man. Daniel chapter 11 talks about this man. And we are encouraged, we are exhorted to make sure we understand who this is. What has been said regarding the point of Esau to show what it's like to despise the message. This also is an encouraging thing for those who may feel, well, you know, I've been so unfaithful to the Lord, maybe I'm not really his. Esau was not that. Esau was one who said, this does me no good. I don't want my birthright. That's what an unbeliever does. That's what a so-called professing believer does. One who is troubled about their salvation, who says, well, I really love the Lord Jesus. I hope that he will save me. This one just needs to have confidence in the work of Christ. Esau was not looking for assurance. Esau rejected his birthright. Esau despised what ought to have been his. And so this is an encouragement for us also to link that with what we're seeing at these verses.
Well, we read a lot of verses, and we just about reached verse 15. So I think it would be appropriate in our next study to perhaps try to at least make some comments from where we're leaving off here, even though we still have a long way to travel in Matthew 24. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, the time of Jacob's trouble. Very fitting when we think of Esau and Jacob, right? The time of Jacob's trouble. And I can just imagine that when verse 15 takes place, it's going to be with big fanfare. And many are going to come to observe this great one, this lawless one, do what he's going to do. But those that are truly following the Lord are going to go the opposite way. They're going to flee Jerusalem. They're not going to hang around for the big crowds. They're not going to stay there to watch and observe this man and what he's about to do. They're instructed to go the other way. And that's what we find here as we go further on. But we'll need to look at that a little more in our next study. So if a brother has a hymn, and then we can pray. We'll go have our lunch break next. And whoever does give thanks, please give thanks for the food as well.